This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings once again. We're thankful you've tuned us in, and we trust that the program will be a help and a blessing to you. If you'd like to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there, and you can also email prayer requests from the website. So you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, I want to continue today with our thoughts on Revelation 1 and verse 8, which says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Now, as we begin to look at the book of the Revelation, we see that the Lord, who was willing to die for us at the cross of Calvary, is going to come to judge an unbelieving world that crucified him. And we know that after that judgment takes place, then he'll set up the kingdom that the Israelites were looking for when he came the first time. They had not realized that he had to suffer before he could reign, even though that was clearly taught in the Old Testament. But of course, we're blind to what we do not want to see, and they wanted to be freed from Roman rule. The Israelites wanted to be freed from Roman rule, and they were looking for a physical deliverer. That's very likely why they chose Barabbas over the Lord Jesus when they had the opportunity to set a prisoner free. I suspect that Barabbas, being the kind of person he was, one who had rebelled against the government and who was in prison for an insurrection, that they thought he could lead them to liberty, whereas the Lord, who did not bear arms, who humbled himself, who always was willing to take the low place, the gracious place, it didn't appear like he was the one who would likely be able to deliver them. In Isaiah 52, it says that when they would see him, or in Isaiah 53, when they would see him, there would be no beauty that they would desire him. That is, he wouldn't look like a king. There would be no regal beauty that they would desire him. So the Lord, in the book of the Revelation, is going to be doing a different, or presenting himself in a much different way than he presented himself when he was born as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. But he always was the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, we've dealt with the Alpha and Omega. He's everything. We've dealt with the fact that he is the one who is and who was and who is to come. He's eternal. But I want to think this morning a little bit about this, the idea that he is the Almighty. And as we think about the fact that he's the Almighty, I want to, again, be current. I know that this is a little late, but I want to think about how the Almighty, the one who has the right to judge, is also the one who has given us the greatest love story that we could ever have. We read about this love story. We constantly in John 3, "For God so loved the world." And yet with that love story, we see constant rejection in the New Testament and in our society. We see people who would rather have anyone lead them, liars and immoral people and dishonest people. They would rather have them lead them than have one who was the way, the truth, and the life lead them. And so when we look at the Lord Jesus, we are looking at the one who is eternal, and we're looking at the one who is almighty, and this almighty one has given us a Valentine's Day story like no other. I love those words, "God so loved the world." That's not the physical world, that's the world of humanity. And so when we look at this Almighty One, sometimes we look at the fact that he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants to do. He has the right to do it, and he has the power to do it. And it's because of his not using that power that we have a Savior who was willing to go to the cross of Calvary. If you remember, he told his disciples that he could have called 12 legions of angels, but instead of calling 12 legions of angels, he submitted himself to the death of the cross. He submitted himself to the inhumanity and the hatred of his own people and of the Gentile rulers. He submitted himself to that, even though he was the all-powerful one. He is omniscient. He's the all-knowing one. And that's interesting because he loves us even though he knows all about us. If we were to go back to Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 17, we would read, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Well, the Lord knows it. He says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. And he knows what's in our hearts. He knows the evil that lurks there. And we may deceive others and we may deceive ourselves about the evil that lurks in our hearts. But given the right circumstances, given the right situation, any one of us can do things that we would consider evil. We're thankful for everyone who has a desire to turn away from the evil that has been implanted in our hearts because we have the nature of sin. And we're thankful for everyone who has a conscience and for every religion that preaches that there ought to be a conscience about the way we treat our fellow man and the way we treat our God in heaven. But nevertheless, God is all-knowing, and he knows that we have lust, that we have in our minds, we have a hatred for some people in some cases, and that it's evil, easy for us to have an unforgiving spirit, and we have prejudices, and all of these things are in our hearts, and yet not one of those things is in the heart of God, because God has so loved the world. So he's all-knowing, and we come to Romans chapter 3, that verse that we often quote, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And God knows that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet, God so loved the world. So, he's all-knowing. And then we read that he's omnipresent. The Almighty One is omnipresent. That is, he's all-present or present everywhere. And this is one thing that I think we need to get established in our minds. We are not going to be able to avoid him no matter where we go. For one thing, we have a conscience that tells us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior and that he exists. Creation itself tells us that there is an intelligent designer who made all of this. And if we were to, no matter where we go, we're not going to be able to avoid the Lord Jesus, and someday we're going to meet him. There's only one place I know of that we can go where the Almighty will not be, and that's in the place of the condemned, those who die without Christ throughout the endless ages of eternity. They're going to ultimately be cast into a place that's called the lake of fire, and God will not be there. And I think one of the real heartaches that's going to exist throughout the endless ages of eternity, when people realize they could have been saved and they weren't, that they could have enjoyed the presence of the Lord and they didn't, is that in this place called the lake of fire, they'll be tormented by the mockery of a Satan who deceived them, but they'll never enjoy the presence of the Lord there. That's one place where the Lord will not be, but on this earth. And during this lifetime, there's no place that you can go where you can avoid him. People get frustrated because when they turn on the radio, they hear the gospel. They get frustrated because when they talk to friends in coffee shops, people will share the gospel with them. People will leave them literature. And it seems like sometimes in the darkest moments of life, when we would just as soon be all by ourselves and be avoiding all contact with people, God will send somebody to remind us that he's there. And we cannot avoid the fact that we're going to meet him physically someday. And is he going to say, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you"? Is he going to say that we worked iniquity because we tried to get to heaven without him? Or is he going to say, "Come, thou blessed of the Lord, and is he going to say, "Well done," as he invites us into the Father's house? Is he going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Either we're going to be rejected as those that he realized never trusted him, or we're going to be accepted as those who trusted him and realized that there was nothing we could do to deserve to be saved, but we could, in fact, after we were saved, do things to please him because of what he has done for us. And so as we begin to look at Valentine's Day, this is one of the great loves. God not only loved the thief on the cross, God not only loved Mary Magdalene, who apparently had 7 demons cast out of her. He loved the sinner who anointed him with oil before his when he was eating in the house of Simon the leper. We know that he loved people that were unlovable, and more than that, he loves me. And he loves you. And I'm just so glad this Almighty One that we're speaking about, he is known to us as Jesus. And I call him the Lord Jesus, because he's the one who was willing to die for my sins. This one loved those who crucified him. And it's hard for me to imagine that he loved even those Pharisees who rejected him. But they will not be in heaven because they did not repent. There was one centurion, and those who followed the centurion, who apparently realized that they were crucifying the Lord, and I believe he repented and believed and will be in heaven because God loved him. But he loves us. He loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. This is a love that I hope you'll accept. I hope that you have accepted it. I hope that you are enjoying it. This is a love beyond the love that we know from our human experiences in this world. God so loved the world. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do ask you to bless our lesson today. Bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.